One of the major sponsors of the National Farm Machinery Show and a sponsor of our coverage on Ag Wired is Syngenta. And with me is Sarah Jahant, who is a technical support representative for the company. And I understand very involved with the display that you have here, which is beautiful to start off with, and we'll learn more about that. I'd like to, first of all, just have you tell us a little bit about what you have on display and the kind of things that go into making this booth display that you've got here.
Okay. Chuck, for the last 7 years, we've had planter boxes here at our booth. They're 6.5 feet wide and 10 feet long. And what these planter boxes do is they enable us to show our full product portfolio on corn, soybeans, wheat, and tobacco. And we started doing this about 7 years ago because when we came to the show and we were sponsoring it at the time, growers were showing up to see tractors, and they're showing up to see combines and stuff like that. And what growers really do is they grow crops. They grow corn, they grow soybeans, and they want to know how to do it better, how to do it more efficiently, and more importantly, safety for the consumer is paramount and safety for themselves. So we thought, well, how can we make our booth a little bit different? When we decided with these planter boxes, what do growers do? They grow corn, soybeans, wheat, and tobacco. So what we're able to show here is total portfolio of our products on all four crops for the growers.
Anything you can tell me in terms of the support of just like the staff from Syngenta that it's here that people can interact with?
Oh, terrific. We've got a number of people here. We have people from our seeds groups. We have people, sales reps from across the Midwest, and all of the tech reps. All of us are here basically to answer questions. And with the boxes you see behind me, we can basically take a grower, and this is an indoor field day. I consider this to be the largest field tour in the country. We get over, I think, somewhere around 100,000 people through here, and we're able to talk with the specific problems they may have in their farm. We have a number of weed species, a number of insects represented here, a number of cultural practices, and we can go through, learn about their farm, and they can look at it here in this plot tour so we can design solutions for their farm.
Well, one of the things I want to do is walk through and have you explain, as we look at these different planter boxes that you have here, you know, tell us what they're going to see. And this is going to be an audio tour. We'll see how this comes out when we edit it. But let's take them, you know, just a little bit about each one as we walk down each side of the exhibit. So what would we see first when we come in?
Well, in the first planter box, what we have is four rows of corn planted. And I've taken a grass species and weed species and spread them over the whole box. And on our right-hand side, on our two rows, we put a foundation program, a pre-emerge program of Lexar. And next to it, a lot of guys that I know are considering a glyphosate program. And so what we want to do is we think glyphosate's a wonderful tool, but we think it needs to be managed. And we think it needs to be only a tool in order to maximize the person's profitability. So what we show in the first box is really a premier program of Lexar, which is a full residual, full season product, versus a more, let's call it, I don't want to say cheap, but a lower cost program of, an atrazine followed by glyphosate. And what it shows you is the weed escapes in the glyphosate field where we could actually impact yield. And we want to show it versus what we would have in the next box over, which is late season weed control, because what we have, Chuck, is a lot of growers think, well, if we come in at knee-high corn, we can kill all of our weeds. We don't need to use the residual. And then when we get into combine fields, we see that there's a lot of burr cucumber, a lot of cockleburr, and what have you. So we think there's a very strong place, particularly as marketing corn prices are, that a strong pre-emerge program featuring Lexar or Lumax, and then using glyphosate should you need it for some special weed problems that might come later would be a fit. But we need to start successfully all season long with early and late season weed control with a strong pre-emerge program.
Okay, and then we're going to move on down the row here. What's next that's coming up on the tour?
This is our plant performance box. This is probably the box I'm most proud of. This box here, our corn now is about 3.5 feet tall. And what we're showing here is basically we've seen in the last few years, we've done a lot of work with fungicides on corn, specifically Quilt and Quadris. And what we've determined just consistently, in fact, last year we're averaging about a 21 bushel improvement where a man used Quilt versus untreated. And we've seen that gray leaf spot, southern corn leaf blight, northern corn leaf blight, and the rust can really jump in and negatively impact yield. And as we're looking at 3.5 and $4 corn, we need a grower to be able to get every bushel out of that acre he can. And with 14 ounces of Quilt, we add in a little Warrior to control some of those silk feeders and ear feeders, we've seen yields go up 18 to 21 bushels pretty consistently. So it's something I think a grower, an application at silking should really consider consider this year because we really can take yields to a higher level.
Next, I know this is primarily the corn side here, but what do we have coming up next year?
What we have here is a foundation application. Everybody, Bicep 2 Magnum, a lot of growers recognize as being just a long-term player that consistently provides residual control of grasses and broadleaves. And we followed it up with Touchdown combined with Callisto. Now, what this is an answer for is a lot of guys want to come back with a glyphosate. And we have to remember, glyphosate does not have residual. And we've got a lot of weeds out there, such as the vine, such as morning glory, such as cocklebur, giant ragweed, that keep coming all season long. And if we take 3 ounces of Callisto and add it in with that Touchdown on that post-treatment, really Callisto will pick up all the areas where glyphosate maybe needs a little help. And more importantly, Chuck, we've got to be concerned with resistance management with glyphosate. We're starting to see weed species that are becoming resistant to glyphosate. And if we can add some Callisto, it's a totally different mode of action and really fills in an excellent resistant management partner.
Well, coming up next, I see the sign on the front says corn back on corn. From what I have been getting information in my inbox, this is probably a pretty important issue right here, right?
Right. I'll have growers, Chuck, in my geography, which is Kentucky and southern half in Indiana, that normally are in a corn, soybean, wheat rotation. And this is a time where, because of corn prices, because of the ethanol situation, we're looking at having a lot of acres come corn back on corn. And this box here is to remind growers that there's issues that they're going to have to consider in a corn back on corn situation, such as corn rootworm. If you look at the mature corn at the back of the box, you can see that typical goosenecking that corn rootworm can cause a problem with. So we look at Force insecticide for that. Also, your disease pressure is much greater here because your stubble in a no-till situation, which we have here, is out there providing inoculum to the crop you're growing this year. So if you're considering as a grower to go corn back on corn, you really want to work closely with your Syngenta rep because there are some challenges that you'll want to have answers to in that production system.
Well, looking at that, just a quick question, and looking forward, do you think that following the practices you would recommend here, that can be done successfully?
Oh, definitely. The northern half of Illinois has proven that it really can be managed, and the management is really the key word there. We have tools to manage the weeds that can develop in that type of system. We have insecticides like Force, like Warrior, to manage those things. We have Quilt. We have to maximize the disease control, and we can work with our seeds partners to pick the varieties that work better under those types of pressures. But the important thing, Chuck, is recognizing that they're going to take some management decisions, that you maybe would have some help with in a rotation situation.
Okay, well, we're going to head on over to the other side of the exhibit here, and I know you've got some other crops on display, so let's see what's coming up first here.
Okay.
Actually, we're still on corn, I see.
Yeah, this is
what do we have here?
Corn box. This is a trade. This is what we call our AgriSure box. This is our traded corn box, and this is a traded corn, a Syngenta transgenic corn. And what we have here is three corn rows on the right, and they have been infested with black cutworm. And we've had these corn plants are about 8-9 days old now. And you can see on this conventional unprotected corn where we have no trait and we have no insecticide that the black cutworm is starting to cause some of these plants to be clipped off and fall over. And we know that your threshold for plants getting clipped off at this 2 and 3 leaf stage like we're looking here is very, very low in that 1-3% range. So really we can't rescue black cutworm. So there's two avenues here. We can go with our transgenic corn that we expect to be registered in late 2008, or we could come with our foundation program right now of a Warrior in furrow of 2 ounces and then come back with 2 ounces of Warrior over the top. And you can see here I put little crosses, and at the base of each little cross there where it says rest in peace, you'll actually see a black cutworm carcass. So it's a nice little visual to say that we have the ability to provide solutions for the grower, whether he wants to use a traded corn or if he wants to use something like Warrior, to really do an awfully nice job. And you can see the pressure that we have here is really pretty typical for the Midwest.
Did you have a special service for the dead worms?
We should, because we have quite a population out here. Now, on the other side of the box, we infested with fall armyworm. So the same trait that's controlling the black cutworm controls the fall armyworm. So you can see the beautiful job that Warrior's doing here, and you can see the extreme damage that fall worm. And Chuck, we've probably got 50% of the world's totally dead in this row. That was in 4 hours of feeding. So fall armyworm can be very devastating to a corn crop.
All right, now what's up next in the next box?
Now, this is a box that a lot of growers come and look at it. Unless you're from a tobacco growing state, you kind of wonder what it is. But what we have here is Burley tobacco. Because we are in the state of Kentucky, we can't hardly have a show without tobacco. And what we have is a huge portfolio for the tobacco grower. Our goal really is to maximize leaf quality, maximize profitability, and grow a high-quality product. It's not a crop that's growing in acres, certainly, but it's certainly that it's important for a tobacco grower to remain profitable.
Next, we have...
We have a wheat box. Now, this is drilled wheat. And what we have here is we have Italian ryegrass. And Italian ryegrass is a weed species that we have quite a bit of problems in certain parts of the country. And what we're showing here is the performance of Axial, which is our new Italian ryegrass, wild oat, giant foxtail control product versus an untreated. So we have a box full of drilled wheat. I drilled all that wheat by hand every 7 inches. It looks pretty good, I think. And it's showing here that you really can manage your crop really from seed treatment in the form of Cruiser and Dividend, go right into ryegrass control with Axial, and then certainly protect the quality of that crop with Quilt and Warrior in the spring from insects and disease.
Well, we've got two more to go, and what's next up?
Now, this box is something that a grower that is considering growing glyphosate-tolerant beans, and he's used glyphosate-tolerant corn last year. We all know that we can get a lot of volunteer corn growing, and guys that have been very comfortable using just glyphosate in their beans might be surprised this year the amount of corn, and keep in mind it's glyphosate-tolerant, that's growing in their beans. So if you picture, I call this my succotash box. This is where we have a lot of corn growing and a lot of beans. And you can see the stress on the beans. Corn is a pretty good competitor to beans, meaning that I'm growing this in a greenhouse and you still can see drastic competitive pressure from the corn onto the beans. So what we're telling the guys, we're saying it's easy to control. We can throw in 5 ounces of Fusilade with your glyphosate shot with your touchdown. And you can see we have excellent control of that volunteer corn, and also your glyphosate then and your touchdown is doing excellent control of your broadleaves versus this other side where the corn is really causing major problems with the soybeans.
Yeah, in fact, it looks like it's almost kind of hard to see the soybeans
really
under there.
It really is, and because your glyphosate-tolerant corn is not being affected by your glyphosate. Your beans, you know, you're getting broadleaf control, but at this point, your corn pressure is by far impacting yield.
Well, I know we have some more soybeans on the agenda, so what's up next?
This is our final box. This is our resistance management box. And Chuck, if you've noticed, this box is up front, and it's up front and center. This is a very serious issue for the American farmer on how to manage weed resistance in their farming operation today. What we have here is glyphosate-resistant mare's tail. This mare's tail is confirmed glyphosate. It came from a field in central Kentucky in Hardin County, just south of Louisville. And you can see here, we took a quart of glyphosate and we sprayed it on our mare's tail population here. And some of them are totally dead. And others are untouched and growing. And if growers think back to this past fall, driving down the road, there's an awful lot of fields where you had mare's tail that was coming over the top of those beans and it was perfectly healthy. Mare's tail, usually when we're talking about resistance, we're trying to talk about futuristically affecting a farm. This weed is affecting farmers today in areas. Water hemp is another one, lamb's quarter, some of the ragweeds. Resistance, we need multiple modes of action. So what we have here is glyphosate, and you can see how some mare's tail is dying, some is not. And then over here where we've used Gramoxone with Prefix. Prefix is a pre-emerge product that we have for soybeans. When we take Gramoxone and add it to Prefix, we take out both the sensitive and resistant mare's tail, as well as all grasses and broadleaves. What that allows a grower to do is come back in season and control the weeds that come through with glyphosate in the form of touchdown to have a totally weed-controlled situation. But the first thing we need to do is recognize that resistance management needs to be incorporated into our programs.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you have probably spent a little bit of time working on this, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing this, like I said, for about 7 years now. And we'd like to say, you know, there's a lot of science involved, but there's a lot of art involved. And growers really like showing up and seeing in the middle of February chest-high corn. So it's been a real pleasure. That they tease me that sometimes my corn looks a little iffy or whatever, but they're impressed with the message. Growers want to do things right. They want to get better at what they do, and they want to do it where it's safe for the consumer and safe for the environment. And something like this, to have a population of growers and really urban people as well to come in and learn about agriculture, learn about the benefits of traded corn and herbicides and insecticides, is really invaluable to us.
I think it would also be interesting to get your perspective on the challenge of bringing these boxes physically into the show on display. What kind of special considerations do you have to deal with in order to make it happen?
Chuck, I can tell you it's ruined every Christmas I've had for the last seven years. These boxes, as I said, they're 6.5 feet wide, 10 feet long, and about 6 inches deep. When they're full of water and full of crops, we run about 2,600 or 2,800 pounds. We grow them in a greenhouse about an hour and a half west of Louisville. That greenhouse has 20 hours of light. It has fertilizer every 5 days, water. We do heated water every day to get them going. And to get them here, we use two heated semi-tractor trailers to get them here. We have very careful drivers to get them here. Nobody's throwing the brakes on, but it's a collaborative effort. My sales district here in Kentucky does an awesome job. You can see harvesting some of the mature corn for some of the other boxes. That requires a lot of forethought. And we take a lot of pride in it, simulating what growers need to learn and what they see in their own field.
When do you bring them into the show, physically get them on site?
Okay. The show starts on Wednesday morning, and we traditionally have always brought them in Monday in the hopes that if Monday's weather is terrible, meaning too windy or excessive cold, that we'd have Tuesday as a backup day. We have never needed to use Tuesday. Farmers may not be able to get here with the weather this year, but because we moved them here on Monday, it's about a 12-hour deal because we need to bring all our lighting, we need to bring all our watering systems, and until you stand here in front of the box, you don't really see the scale that we're talking here. But we have 10 boxes of the dimensions we've talked about, and it really is the largest indoor field day that features our entire portfolio on four different crops in the country and probably the world. We decided that we weren't going to do it in a small way. Farmers don't do things halfway. They don't do them small scale. So we wanted to meet the challenge, and we try to anticipate. Not every year does every box make it. I'll be honest with you. The bottom falls out, or crop looks a little funky, or the forklift driver gets a little aggressive. But by and large, it's a whole lot of people, including my local farmer that has the greenhouse, to make it all come together.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. Is there anything else that you would like people to know about the exhibit that you've put on display here that we didn't touch?
I don't think so, Chuck. I just want to encourage people that if you're not able to make it to the farm show this year, obviously next year we hope to be here and doing it again as the scale we're doing, God, if the truckers cooperate and the weather cooperates and everything. And whether you're a city person or a rural person, there's something to be learned here. We try to do the right things as agricultural stewards of the land. And we're always up to be able to demonstrate that to whoever it really needs to learn that agriculture really is a technological breakthrough, and we really do a really nice job of feeding the world.
Well, again, thank you very much, Sarah Jahant, who is a technical services representative for Syngenta. Here at the National Farm Machinery Show, I'm Chuck Zimmerman.